Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dave McManus, Berean Baptist Church, coming to you with the news in focus today. And, you know, the sports news of the week, I've done a podcast on it already last week. And maybe it was before that. It wasn't even last week, a couple weeks ago. Is Michael Sam and Donald Sterling and these sports stories that have become mainstream stories. Now, I wanted to take a different perspective because I found an article that was really interesting. I didn't think we needed another podcast about Michael Sam and to say, hey, we disagree with his lifestyle. Of course we do. Of course we do. I don't know that we need another podcast saying, we've got Michael Sam out there today saying, I didn't want my sexuality to be the focus. Well, then why did you make it the focus? The kiss that was... that was on TV, I guess, all the time. I don't really want to watch it, but apparently it was played over and over and over again on the media shows, and people have reacted both positively and negatively to it. That was purely it was set up. It was a publicity stunt. It was a way for him to get his agenda across. The only way a mediocre football player was going to get his agenda across, and that's what he did. But I found an article on Fox Sports by a guy named Clay Travis, and I don't know Clay Travis, but I was reading through some of the comments, and apparently Clay Travis is known for being a little bit liberal. And so normally I guess we probably wouldn't agree very much, but he's got a really interesting take on all this stuff that's been going on. And the title of his article is Actions Matter More Than Words Unless You're on the Internet. Actions matter more than words unless you're on the Internet. And he says, when did America decide that words are worse than actions? I'm not sure exactly, but it's happened. We spend far too much time worried about what people said, tweeted, or thought, and far too little time worried about what people actually do. Isn't that a great statement? Actions speak louder than words, except on the internet, where words get far more attention than actions. Whether it's Donald Sterling, Dolphins defensive back Don Jones, or former Ole Miss shooting guard Marshall Henderson, you're better off these days to commit an actual crime than say or tweet something unpopular. Are we more upside down in this society or what? Let's start with Jones. Jones is a defensive back for the Miami Dolphins. He tweeted, OMG and horrible, when Michael Sam kissed his partner on ESPN after being drafted in the 7th round. That's not an ideal reaction from the NFL's perspective, but it's an honest one. Ostensibly one of the primary reasons that Twitter exists, to allow real-time reaction to current events. The problem for Jones is that it is also a politically incorrect response. So the Dolphins suspended and fined Jones. That's despite the fact that Jones doesn't play on the same team as Sam, it's presently in the offseason, and Jones' comments weren't that egregious in relation to other homophobic comments by the league's players in past years. Jones disagrees with two men kissing on sports television. That's hardly an opinion that he alone shares. Yet if he tweeted OMG followed by hooray, there would have been no team or NFL reaction at all. SportsCenter might have retweeted him and praised his courage. Instead, the Dolphins fined and suspended him for words. For having an opinion. Not attacking the man. Not calling him any expletives. Not going after his character. Making a statement that what he saw on TV, he didn't agree with. I don't like that. And now he's fined and suspended, and he'll be going to sensitivity training. We were disappointed to read Don's tweets, Coach Joe Philbin said in a statement. They were inappropriate and unacceptable, and we regret the negative impact these comments had on such an important weekend for the NFL. We met with Don today about respect, discrimination, and judgment. These comments are not consistent with the values and standards of our program. How does that compare with the Baltimore Ravens' reaction to running back Ray Rice being videoed knocking out his fiance and subsequently charged with domestic assault? The Ravens said as follows, this is part of the due process for Ray. We know there is more to Ray Rice than this one incident. And he says, is this real life? You get in more trouble for a tweet about men kissing on a sports television show than you do for allegedly knocking out your girlfriend being charged with domestic assault. The message is clear. Words matter more than actions. And if you haven't seen that, that happened this summer, and that, you know, it was kind of under the radar. But Ray Rice, who is a running back for the Baltimore Ravens, I'll try not to let my bias against the Ravens come into this conversation. But they have him on video knocking his girlfriend unconscious. Now, they don't show the actual punch, but they show him dragging her unconscious body out of an elevator. And so here's a man who punched his girlfriend in the face and rendered her unconscious and then drug her unconscious body out of the elevator and down the hallway to try to cover it up. And he gets this as part of the due process. And a guy who writes horrible, one word, horrible. We don't even, there's not even any indication of Michael Sam's name in the tweet. Horrible, and he gets fined and suspended. Ray Rice has not been fined and suspended. He gets due process. And so this author is right on it here. Actions are less valuable than words right now in this society. Today, Marshall Henderson tweeted, Marshall Henderson is a former shooting guard for the University of Mississippi, known for being a little bit controversial. He's kind of a trash talker. He's been suspended a couple times. He's kind of that guy. You don't really know if you want him on your team because you can't really depend on him, but he's a really good player when he's there. That's Marshall Henderson. He tweeted, boycotting SportsCenter till this Michael Sam, and then he has some expletives, stuff is off. My brothers are 7-Eleven and saw that, hashtag sickening. Later, Henderson tweeted that his tweet had been a social experiment for a gay friend. That's how Henderson explained it away. He said, my friend's gay. He told me to tweet that to see what kind of reaction he would get because he wants to know what would happen if he came out. Well, whatever. The author says right. Regardless of his motivations, the Twitter reaction was swift. Ole Miss issued a statement condemning Henderson's comments. The Twitter thought police, who seem to live for someone to tweet something unpopular so they can turn into a mob and extract their pound of flesh, hopped on Henderson and tore him to shreds. How dare he have an opinion that doesn't square with their own? Stone him. Honestly, the more I watch reactions like this, the more it reminds me of social media's own McCarthyism, a reverse Red Scare. We have to root out racists and homophobes and publicly ridicule them to make the world a better place. Angry words, exact same opinions, mob rule, faux rage. So, isn't that a great parallel? For you history people, you know Joseph McCarthy, you know the McCarthyism that was there in the 50s, the House Un-American Activities Committee that called people out if they had any remotely questionable associations. They called people before Congress. Do you now or have you ever had any affiliations with the Communist Party? Into people's civil rights over and over and over again. And he compares this idea of Twitter. It's a social media McCarthyism. Oh, he might be a homophobe. We got to string him up. Oh, he might be a racist. We've got to string him up. You know, because of something he said or typed or tweeted in a moment, and it becomes a defining moment. Not the actions, but the words. Again, I ask you, if you look around and everyone has the exact same opinion as you, doesn't that make you a bullying mob? What takes more courage, standing up to the mob or following along in its wake? Especially whereas here, this isn't about what was said. What impact did Henderson's tweet really have? He's a former basketball player. So much as it is your opinion to puff out your internet chest and make a show for others. I'm not racist because I don't like racists. I'm not homophobic because I don't like homophobes, but everyone else is. Swell. But aren't you turning these words into stories just to give yourself an opportunity to pat yourself on your own back for your own tolerance? This isn't about the bigots or the homophobes. It's about amassing social media likes, bolstering your own self-esteem. The reaction to words tell us more about the reactors than it does about the speakers. I'm really enjoying this author and the way he lays this out. He says, if you look around and everyone has the exact same opinion as you, doesn't that make you a bullying mob? What takes more courage, standing up to the mob or following along in its wake? And we've seen this with Michael Sam. We've seen it with Donald Sterling, who he's about to address. We've seen it with many different things. Is we've got people that all of a sudden have a banner to fly of offense that, you know, they've never been offended before, but now they're all of a sudden offended. Donald Sterling has been mistreating minorities for 30 years, and he says something in a privately recorded conversation, and now we're up in arms about it. You know, now we're going to stand up for something. We've got a guy that comes out as gay and says, I don't want this to be about my sexuality. Then why did you hold a national press conference to talk about your sexuality? Why did you stage a situation in a photo op when you knew cameras were going to be there and you got your boyfriend right there that you were kissing instead of your family? It's ridiculous to think that this isn't all orchestrated to gain support. I almost hope Sam makes the team, because if the St. Louis Rams have to cut him, well, they're going to be the most homophobic team out there. Just watch. He announced this because he knew that his draft stock was going to fall, and he knew that this was going to make him a martyr no matter what happens. If he doesn't play, we've got this idea. Darren Young did the same thing with the WWE months and months and months ago, and I'm surprised we haven't heard more about it. He's been injured, and that's why. You know, yes, I know about wrestling. But had he not been getting any TV time, I guarantee you the reason why would be because he was gay. And it set that up for Michael Sam already. His jersey was the second highest selling jersey over the weekend, and he's a seventh round draft pick. Okay? And that's not your average football fan buying those jerseys. I can guarantee you that. Says, let's turn to Donald Sterling now. He's racist and has been for a long time. That sucks. I wish racism didn't exist and we all lived in a happy utopia where prejudice and simple-mindedness were erased forever. Okay, I'm with you. Sterling was secretly recorded in the privacy of his own home in a private conversation. Joey and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Then that tape was released by an anonymous person and all hell broke loose. The NBA banned Donald Sterling for life, not for anything he'd done before. The league came out and said it was not for anything he'd done before, it was for this conversation. They specifically excluded all his previous actions, but instead the league said they were taking his team because of what he said on a secretly recorded tape in a private conversation in his home. Sterling did the wrong thing. He said the wrong words to tick off the mob. The mob came for him because no one affiliated with the NBA was brave enough to stand up and say, whoa, could we be setting a bad precedent here by banning a guy for life from even attending our sporting events because of something he said in a secretly recorded private conversation in his own home? No, the mob demanded justice. And so, again, Joey and I talked about this. Homosexualization of America is complete, and it is as it's moving that way, and it becomes the overwhelming belief in society that it is natural and good and positive. What happens to the Christian owner that stands for traditional marriage when he says, I believe in marriage between a man and a woman? When his team is taken from him because he believes in that, and they're going to label that bigotry. What happens then? Because that's the slippery slope they have opened up by doing it this way. I don't like Donald Sterling. I think he's a reprehensible human being. I think he holds terrible, ugly, racist views. But, again, like we said in the previous podcast, it's legal to be a jerk in America. That's part of the freedom that we have. Here's an interesting question for you. Remember that Sterling's girlfriend is half black and half Hispanic. What if Sterling was fine with her hanging out with black people but racist against Hispanics? What if he told her not to hang out with Hispanics or bring them to his games? LA has a large Hispanic market. The Hispanic population in America is actually larger than the black population. Does the NBA still ban Sterling for life and demand he sell the team? Do NBA players react the same way? He says, I don't think so. That's interesting. He says, I don't think so. Why is the mob fickle and inconsistent about these issues? Because all mobs are fickle, inconsistent, and come with their own preconceived agendas in place. Just go back to Rome. Just go back to Rome. From a literary perspective, read Julius Caesar. Read Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, and this is exactly what you will see. A fickle mob who goes with the popular guy at the time. No thought process. Sheep, lemmings, those kinds of things. Here's an interesting thought. Kobe Bryant said there was no place in the NBA for Donald Sterling. The mob cheered his taking a stand and demanded blood, evidently forgetting that Kobe Bryant allegedly raped a woman in Colorado. He played through the pretrial hearings in that case and then bought off his accuser, apologizing to her in the process. That's a pretty serious transgression, right? It's an actual action. Yet if Donald Sterling had to choose whether to be accused of rape and buy off his alleged victim, or caught on tape making a racist statement, he'd pick being accused of rape. How crazy is that? Now, I'm not suggesting that Kobe Bryant is guilty of rape. Okay? Only Kobe Bryant and the woman involved know that. But he was accused of it. He admitted that he was with this woman outside of his own marriage. He admitted that there was this encounter. He admitted that the sexual intercourse happened. And this woman felt strong enough about it that she filed charges against him for rape. And nobody talks about Kobe Bryant in that light nowadays. He's a hero. He's great. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talked about Ray Lewis buying off guys when his murder charge was on there. He was a hero when he retired from the Super Bowl last year, right? But an idiot Okay? An idiot named Donald Sterling says something stupid on a privately recorded tape, and he's fined $250 million. He's his team is taken from him, and you know, do we not see the craziness here? He says, and be careful, internet mob. Remember that mobs don't rule wisely. They frequently end up executing some of their own. Just go back to the French Revolution and study that. Did anyone advise NBA players that by demanding Donald Sterling be fired, they'd open themselves up to serious punishments for using the wrong words in their lives too? What happens when the next Kobe Bryant directs a gay slur at another NBA official on tape, which Kobe did a few years ago, and they caught it on tape? What if someone trash talks Jeremy Lin on camera and makes a slur about him being Asian? What happens when another NBA star stands accused of a serious crime during the season? In the wake of Donald Sterling's punishment, could the NBA really let Bryant play while facing rape charges today? NBA players may have won the battle with Donald Sterling, but they lost the war. Let's use another example from the professional ownership ranks of words being penalized over actions. Remember Colts owner Jim Irsay, who was recently caught driving drunk while possessing narcotics? He still hasn't received any suspension or penalty from NFL executioner Roger Goodell. So if you're an owner, it's better to drive drunk with narcotics and put every other motorist in serious danger or death than to be secretly tape making racist statements in your home. Doesn't this seem backwards to everyone? In our own lives, we all choose to punish actions over words, but not on the internet. Put it this way, if you had to choose between having a rapist in your family or a racist, which would you pick? It's not a tough decision, right? Regardless of our own racial backgrounds, we all pick the racist. That's because in the real world, we understand that actions matter more than words. It's why our criminal justice system just about always requires a criminal act to punish someone. Mere words, standing alone, are not crimes. So why does the internet treat words as the ultimate sin, worse than actual actions? We've got it totally backwards, and that's scary. The reason why I chose this article is because I think he says it so well. I think he illustrates, and again, this is a more liberal-leaning guy, and he's illustrating that placing words above actions is a dangerous thing to do. By letting the mob be the morality police, you have created a monster. By letting popular opinion direct your initiatives, direct your strategy, you have gone down a dangerous path. He says, now I want to jump into the First Amendment here, which is frequently misapplied in cases such as these. The First Amendment protects us all from government punishment for our words. What it doesn't protect anyone from is freedom from the consequences of these words. That is, your private employer can certainly react to your comments, online or otherwise, and hold you accountable for them. But I'm more interested in this fact: major American corporations have become increasingly socially liberal in the past decade or so. Many corporations are every bit as powerful as governmental entities. As corporations continue to increase in power, their censorship of employee opinions can start to have many of the same impacts as governmental restraint of speech. Walmart employs one in every 100 workers in our country. If Walmart's corporate policies restrict their employee rights to comment on controversial issues, shouldn't that be a little bit scary to everyone? Add up several Walmarts and you have a large segment of the population that doesn't have actual freedom of speech if that speech differs from the opinion of the corporation that employs them. So again, that's a dangerous thought, whether it's corporations, whether it's the government. Okay, and again, certainly you can be punished for your words. You know what? If you say things that are, even at this point offensive, but if you say things that are expletive laced, or you reflect your company in a bad light, if I go on Twitter and drop a bunch of curse words, I'm probably going to face some consequences from my boss here at Berean. I realize that there's freedom of speech. That doesn't mean there's freedom of consequences, but how far does that extend? And just having an opinion about something, if that is a fireable and a persecutable offense, well, we're in dangerous territory. He says, well, at least Walmart doesn't have a monopoly on professional sports leagues like the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NHL do. So let's say you don't agree with gay marriage and play in one of these leagues. That's your right as an American. I happen to disagree with you. See, this guy's a liberal guy. He says, I happen to disagree with you, but you have the right to that opinion. But do you have the right to voice that opinion if the Miami Dolphins are suspending players who don't want to see men kiss on sports television? I'm not sure that you do. Okay, so here's a pro-gay marriage guy defending the right of somebody to disagree with gay marriage. That's a refreshing thing in today's society, for me at least. He sees the big picture. And that's what we've talked about in all these issues, in the gay marriage issue, in the inerrancy of the Bible issue that we've talked about, whatever that issue is. A lot of these activists only see the first concentric circle when the rock gets thrown into the pond. They don't see the ripples that go out from there. And this guy recognizes it. He doesn't agree with a biblical worldview, and yet he recognizes the importance of being able to have thoughts of our own. He says, "So to play pro sports, you have to check your opinions at the door unless they are the same opinions as the league. And if your opinion differs with the league, you'll be punished more severely for that than you will if you break actual crimes. How did we get to this place? So a player could say, I don't think gay marriage should be allowed. It doesn't make me comfortable. In fact, it disgusts me. I am a supporter of traditional marriage. He will be fined. He will be suspended. He'll be sent to sensitivity training. I punch my girlfriend in the face and knock her unconscious, and this deed doesn't define me. No fine, no suspension." Do you see the message that these sports teams are sending? He says, how did we get to this place? In order to ultimately treat everyone equally, don't we have to allow those we disagree with to freely share their hate? Otherwise, we're in a terrifying place, a location where words matter more than actions, where the wrong thought is a virtual crime that could cost you your job. We need to be giving words less attention and actions more, but I'm afraid that the modern trajectory of the internet mobs are taking us in the exact opposite direction. Regardless of what your political beliefs are, that should terrify all of us. So, again, here's the idea. Would it be nice if everybody in the world had a biblical worldview? That would be awesome. You know, we would all get along. Everything would be great. But guess what? We live in a fallen world, and that's just not the case. It doesn't exist in that way. So, what are we to do about that? Well, here's what I think, and I agree with the author, is I want people to have their views. Because you know what that is? That's an opportunity for us to stand for the truth. Christ told us they weren't going to agree with us. Christ told us they were going to go after us. They were going to rebel against us. They weren't going to listen to logic or truth. We know this stuff is coming. And so what did Paul say when he was in the midst of that? He counted it joy. He loves the idea of standing for the truth in a society that doesn't stand for truth, of being that light to the Gentiles, to the world, that God was calling him, was calling Israel, was calling us as believers to be. That's what we're supposed to be. You know, it's not about winning arguments. It's not about going out there and having verbal sparring sessions. It's about standing for the truth and doing it confidently and doing it logically and doing it rationally and using your mind and your heart and aided by the Holy Spirit. All these things are going to bring you where you need to be to stand in the midst of this heresy and apostasy and paganism and immorality and debauchery and everything else that you see in this society. So get ready for your words to be censored, your thoughts to be censored. That's the objective. You will conform or we will cast you out. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm very happy with being cast out of this society, of this worldview. Because there'll be other believers out there. There'll be other followers of Christ out there. We'll pray for each other. We'll help each other. We'll lift each other up. And we'll know who the body of Christ is at that point. It's a wonderful time for the purification of the church when this ugliness is going on in the world. When did we get to the point where words are more important than actions? And when are we going to stand up and be proud for what we believe in rather than assimilating to this fallen world? If you have any comments, please post them directly to this recording. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.